Willkommen zum Ärztetag, dem Podcast der Ärztezeitung. Mein Name ist Alexandra Kalnitska, ich bin Praktikantin bei Springer Medizin Ärztezeitung und stamme selbst aus der Ukraine. Am Telefon begrüße ich heute Roman Havrisch, den Mitbegründer des ukrainischen Projekts Anima, ein Tool für Bewertung von Depressionen, Angststörungen und Stress. Welcome to our podcast, Mr. Havrisch.
Hello everyone, nice to be here.
First, let me explain a little bit in German. Herr Havrisch und ein weiterer Mitbegründer der ukrainischen Neurophysiologie Dr. Sergei Danilov haben Technologie, Wissenschaft und Psychologie miteinander vereint, um diesen einzigartigen Test zu entwickeln. Sie erstellen diesen Test in den ersten 3 Monaten nach Beginn des Krieges in der Ukraine als direkte Reaktion auf die Auswirkungen des Krieges auf die psychische Gesundheit der Ukraine. Heute werden wir versuchen zu verstehen, wie dieser Test tatsächlich funktioniert, wie er sich von traditionellen psychologischen Testen unterscheidet und wie jeder von uns ihn anwenden kann. Der Podcast wird auf Englisch geführt. Mr. Havrisch, thank you for finding time to take part in our podcast. I just told our listeners that you and Dr. Sergei Danilov combined technology, scientific research, psychology to create this unique test for anxiety, depression, and stress. And that you created this test in the very first months of the full-scale war as a direct response to changes in psychological state of Ukrainians. So tell us a little bit about our test. How does it work?
Well, our technology based on two domains, let's say. First is neuroscientific concept of attention bias. That is very good predictor for any kind of mental health condition. Because before we experience any kind of condition, we start experiencing our attention to be biased towards certain stimuli. And we can measure it and we can predict whether you are going to develop condition or not. So this is the first part. And the second part is our web camera eye tracking, which is more technologically based, let's say, approach that enabled us to do the product at scale, let's say, because most neuroscientific laboratories are using eye tracking, but as a separate professional device to diagnose and to analyze those conditions. But we are turning regular web camera that we are talking now through into eye tracking device with computer vision and machine learning algorithms that allows us to predict eye behavior in between the frames, because web camera doesn't have enough frames per second to become a professional eye tracker, let's say, and we need to adjust it a bit in order to use it as a professional eye tracker. So that's in a nutshell how our technology looks like.
Okay, could you explain me a little bit more about this mental bias? So for example, if I have some kind of a condition, I don't know, depression, I will think about some things more. Like, how does it work?
Yeah, basically, if a person has any kind of condition like depression, for example, depressed people have attention biased toward negative faces, for example. So basically, when a depressed person walks through the street and let's say 100 people are there and you cannot basically cover all 100 people with your attention, and the regular person will just randomly pick a face and put attention towards it and then extrapolate, let's say, 10% of the faces into understanding of the world. So how people feel around me. But depressed people tend to pick negative facial expressions and then come to a suggestion that only negative moods are around them. So that is attention bias. When you start nitpicking your surroundings towards specific stimuli that are not representative of the reality, but biased towards certain emotion or certain information, let's say.
Okay, that's quite interesting. And the same works for stress and also for anxiety, as far as I understand, right?
Sure. Anxious people tend to put more attention towards potential threats. So they are constantly aroused and seeking for potential threats. So that's differentiate them from normal people, regular people that are reacting not that actively in seeking threats. So we can easily identify it by eye behavior, because eye is basically the major source of information for our brain. Like 70% of all the information that brain processes comes from eye. And that's why eye behavior is that much connected to a psychological state.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. So I want to do this test. What do I need?
Just a regular web camera, laptop, or desktop, and that's it. We don't work now with mobile phones or tablets, because they are moving, and we need some stable point to calculate the coordinates of the gaze. So that's why we need, a stable web camera. And using any kind of stable web camera, you can already use our product, even in Germany or in Ukraine, whatever, anywhere in the world. If you have a laptop with a web camera, you can use our product.
Okay, I'm starting the test, and what's happening in front of me?
You activate the web camera. You allow web camera to activate, and we, with using our computer vision algorithm, detect your gaze. So a web camera starts seeing you, but for a computer, it's not that obvious where your eyes are. That's why we need to use specific computer vision algorithm to detect your eye, and then we're showing you different emotionally charged stimuli. And depending on your attention distribution towards one stimuli or another, we can predict whether you're going to develop disorder or any condition or not. And it is also very informative for your daily condition, let's say, because I'm using our product like almost daily, and I can understand in what condition I am and what to expect out of me. And this stress metrics, for example, is very useful in terms of productivity. Am I productive today or not? Can I handle a lot of stress or not? Can I work like usually, or I need some more rest? So basically, it's very helpful just for regular people as well.
So you can basically plan your life using your test.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, that's quite interesting. That's not what I expected at all, because I thought mainly about the disorders, and I didn't think that you can actually plan it.
No, it's really not that much about disorder, because disorder is, let's say, is just few percent of the whole population that we can be useful for. So it's pretty much more useful in a regular setting, just because no disorder just happens at once. Usually you have some time to develop disorder. And everything starts from attention bias, then short memory bias, and then long memory bias. So we need to prevent disorder from development, even seeing that person start behaving differently in regards to its attention. So attention settings are probably the most important part of your psyche, because it's filtering the reality around us. So you're in subconsciously and consciously filtering signals from reality. And the way you're doing this is very informative, let's say, for your condition.
Okay, but so let's pretend that I did a test and I got, for example, that I have a very high level of anxiety. So I don't really feel that I have that level of anxiety, but the test says so. Who should I believe, myself, or should I believe the test?
It's a very good question. So as our psyche evolutionary design, to protect us, so we don't have access to our unconditional settings, especially unconscious setting, especially attention settings. So that's why sometimes it is tricky, because people, especially those who feel worse, they have low mood, for example, and our tests usually showing that your attention settings are all right, but they don't feel that way. So basically that happens quite often that people feel different about this. But that's exactly our mission. Our mission is to fight overdiagnosis, misdiagnosis, and self-diagnosis. So basically, that's the whole idea, because what we are now having worldwide is over-medication and over-diagnosis pandemia, let's say. And we need to fight it. And that's where we come in handy. And actually, you don't really understand your unconscious attention settings. So that's why in most of the cases, it's a bit surprising for you. So yes, and that's the major value of our screening, of our test, is that you would probably miss yourself the condition you are in, because it's under the hood, let's say. It's undercover. So, and this is kind of a sneak peek into your unconscious setting, and that is very useful in that regard.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. But okay, if I get this diagnosis from your test, what do you do next? Do you have some exercises? Are you providing some kind of relaxation techniques or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, we are not a diagnostic tool, because to become a real diagnostic tool, we need to get lots of different protocols and official processes. Despite we are being very accurate, from 80 to 95% accuracy, depending on the test that you are picking. So we are screening, not diagnostic. So that's just, let's say, official information, but very important one. So don't treat us as a diagnostic tool. And we consider ourselves a metacognition tool. So basically, we are giving you some ideas what you might do, but this is metacognitive tool, meaning that seeing the results yourself, you already have some ideas how to manage yourself properly. So basically, if you can see that you are tense too much, you probably will have some ideas how to manage your stress. So we don't have to necessarily point you specifically what to do, because different people have their different coping strategies and coping mechanisms to reduce stress, to reduce anxiety, etc. But they often don't know their condition. So just suggesting them and giving them information on the condition is more helpful than giving a specific tool or a specific methodology, because that they might have their own tool set, and this will be way more effective. Because in order to provide a tailor-made suggestion what to do, we need to know way more about the person and their condition than just attention bias, because you can be anxious about different things and we don't know why you're anxious now, for example, and we cannot give you a specific suggestions just on the idea that you are anxious, because we need to know more, and this is just getting more information from you, and that's probably will be work with your therapist or something, but for your therapist it will be very useful to know at what point in life you are, and how stressed you are, how depressed you are, and which components of depression or anxiety you have now, let's say, heightened.
But do you think in some way it can also be used by doctors at some point?
Sure.
As an additional tool?
Yes, we already working with psychologists, with psychiatric, with mental health hospitals, with soldiers at the front line, military psychologists. So yes, it's now in Ukraine, it's widely used in clinical settings as well, because we kind of add another layer of data for them, which is very informative. So yes, they are using extensively us, and that's also, we got a grant from Ukrainian Defense Innovation Cluster, Grade 1, to develop a specifically military psychology, psychologist version of our product, yes.
Okay, could you tell me a little bit more about it? Because I actually read in some Ukrainian news outlets that Anima is actually used by the military right now. Could you tell me a little bit more about it, how it works?
Well, basically, as we described earlier, military psychologist having his professional laptop, let's say, he's going to the position. And if he has some questions about specific soldiers, whether they are in a good condition or not, they can screen them with our products, and they say that this is way better than just questionnaires, because soldiers tend to disregard questionnaires because they can fake it. So and that's why they don't trust questionnaires, and instead using eye tracking is very appealing to them, because it's kind of proper technology and some kind of biomarkers, and they believe it way more, and they more engage in our screening than in traditional questionnaires. So military psychologists, especially at the front line, where people are more like tough ones, ones. So they tend to not to believe in this kind of vague psychological questionnaires and would like to stick to some hardcore technology, let's say. So that's how it come in handy, and military psychologists are really happy with the solution. And just the one thing that they have to have is just a laptop with a camera and connection to the internet. So that's basically the all requirements.
Okay. You told that, first of all, doctors prefer it, and secondly, that you said that it's the more correct than the conventional psychological tests by 83%, as far as I understood. How did you check this?
Well, now a lot of data come up with the critics of traditional questionnaires, mainly because of false positives. Traditional questionnaires have like 30 to 80% of false positive result. And that's where we come in handy, because we are more accurate due to biomarker analysis. So basically, eye behavior is probably the best predictor for mental health condition. And that's why we're kind of, as a technology, as a scientific domain as well, we are more accurate than questionnaires.
So now that we know a little bit more about how your test works, could you tell me what motivated you, what inspired you to create it? And what was your idea behind it initially?
It's kind of a long story, but I will try to put it short, because we 7 years ago, we met with Dr. Sergey Danilov and started working together on neuromarketing research, because myself, I'm from marketing background and I'm having my own marketing agency. He was doing R&D in neuromarketing, and eye tracking in neuromarketing is also the biggest thing, because it can easily predict buyer behavior, consumer buying behavior. So basically, if we show a person, for example, two package designs, and depending on attention distribution, we can pretty accurately predict which package design will be bought more. So that's basically our starting point. And when war started, we decided, how can we use our knowledge for a greater good, if that makes sense? And we designed how we can use our knowledge of human behavior and attention behavior and attention biases to greater good. And we decided that mental health will be a major issue in Ukraine. And we started immediately to develop a product. And in 4 months, we got our first beta. And we gave it for military hospitals, mental health hospitals, for tests, clinical trials. And when it was proved to be very efficient and very accurate, we decided to roll out in a public product.
Can you tell me how many people took part in this clinical test? Approximately.
We are now constantly doing this. It's like almost 1,000 already, something like this.
Okay. That's quite cool. I think I also read in some of the Ukrainian outlets that with this tool, you can also predict post-traumatic stress disorder, right?
Well, yes, but it's a bit more tricky, because with PTSD, it's very important to find visual stimuli that is very close to the traumatic event that initially caused PTSD. So that's why we need to pick very close stimuli to the event. For example, if you had, let's say, car accidents, so we need to come up with pictures and stimuli that really mimic the car accident. And okay, that's really hard a bit to tailor made this for a specific PTSD, because that one issue is a bit tricky. But we can work with multiple different conditions. For example, now we just ended our research in a Feofania clinic in Ukraine for concussions. And we have 93% of accuracy in detecting concussions. So that is also very, very useful. So yeah, it might be applied to various conditions, but PTSD is very specific, very, very different from others. And we also now working with Ukrainian Association for Eating Disorders, and we are preparing a research, and we are doing now research for eating disorders, and we will also produce a test for eating disorders. So concussions and eating disorders are next.
Well, that's truly impressive. I never could have imagined that it could detect so many psychological disorders. It seems like an incredibly useful tool, especially given the current situation in Ukraine. I hope that in the future, we'll be also be able to use it to detect PTSD. Mr. Havrish, thank you so much for this great interview. It was fascinating to learn how the ANIMA test works and what it's capable of. I now realize that it's not just a tool for predicting psychological disorders, but that it can also be used to plan our daily lives. I wish you and the ANIMA project continued success, and I look forward to hearing about its future developments.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Vielen Dank für das Gespräch. Vielen Dank auch an unsere Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer und bis zum nächsten Ärztetag. Tschüss.